From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening by Charles Haven Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Babes in Christ. Are you mourning, believer, because you are so weak in the divine life? Because your faith is so little, your love so feeble? Cheer up, for you have cause for gratitude. Remember that in some things you are equal to the greatest and most full-grown Christian. You are as much bought with blood as he is. You are as much an adopted child of God as any other believer. An infant is as truly a child of its parents as is the full-grown man. You are as completely justified, for your justification is not a thing of degrees. Your little faith has made you clean every whit. You have as much right to the precious things of the covenant as the most advanced believers, for your right to covenant mercies lies not in your growth, but in the covenant itself. And your faith in Jesus is not the measure, but the token of your inheritance in Him. You are as rich as the richest, if not in enjoyment, yet in real possession. The smallest star that gleams is set in heaven. The faintest ray of light has affinity with the great orb of day. In the family register of glory, the small and the great are written with the same pen. You are as dear to your father's heart as the greatest in the family. Jesus is very tender over you. You are like the smoking flax. A rougher spirit would say, "Put out that smoking flax. It fills the room with an offensive odor." But the smoking flax he will not quench. You are like the bruised reed, and any less tender hand than that of the chief musician would tread upon you or throw you away. But he will never break the bruised reed. Instead of being downcast by reason of what you are, you should triumph in Christ. Am I but little in Israel? Yet in Christ I am made to sit in heavenly places. Am I poor in faith? Still, in Jesus I am heir of all things. Though less than nothing, I can boast and vanity confess. Yet if the root of the matter be in me, I will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the God of my salvation.
Consider us Creator and Ruler of all, left heaven to die for me. Came to earth, laid aside heaven's throne in exchange for the cross of Calvary.
In the midst of this increasingly secularized and materialistic society, multitudes of men, women, and young people seem to have forgotten that they have immortal souls, and that one day they must stand before a holy God and face the ultimate judgment. Despite every effort to banish the reality of death from the mind, the Word of God declares, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." How can a person be ready for that awful day? Is there a way to face God without fear? The great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon answered this question in a powerful sermon entitled, "Preparing to Meet God." Let the Bible Speak now offers a booklet published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, which contains this vital message under the title, "Preparing to Meet God." In addition to the sermon text, the publication contains a brief biographical sketch of Spurgeon's life, as well as a schedule for reading the Bible through in a year, all contained in an attractive, conveniently sized booklet. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of "Preparing to Meet God," and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues these studies in the biblical doctrine of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of the message called "The Personality and Duty of the Holy Spirit." During this message, we've seen that the Bible teaches that the Spirit is a person, that he is distinct from the Father and the Son. Not only are the attributes of personality ascribed to the Spirit, but the attributes of deity are ascribed to him as well. Throughout its entirety, the Bible proclaims that the Holy Spirit is God. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message on the personality and duty of the Holy Spirit.
I think that it's wise for Christians to know the God that they worship. The last thing, therefore, that I want to say, since the Holy Spirit is a person distinct from the Father and the Son, therefore a Trinitarian person, hence we are prepared now for the proof from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is set forth in the Bible in all His full-armed deity. He is God. That means He is equal with the Father and with the Son. We speak of the first person of the Trinity, the second person of the Trinity, and the third person of the Trinity. And I realize that when we're talking about the infinite God, there are terms that we have to use to try and get things in an expressible form, in an understandable form. But there's always danger in our terminology. Some people have the impression, even though they don't put it in words, it comes out in their action, it comes out in their worship, it comes out in their praying, that the Father in some way is the most important, the Son is next in importance, and the Holy Spirit is last in importance. You know, you're way, way off there. Co-equal and eternal are the persons of the Godhead. He, that is the Spirit, is God. Let me give you the proof. First of all, He's called God. The Bible calls Him God. We have read it this morning, 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Lord is that Spirit. The New Testament word Lord is the counterpart to the Old Testament Jehovah. This is an absolute proof of the deity of the Holy Ghost. Let me show you in perhaps more striking form still. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, you have one of the most serious occurrences in the early church. Ananias and Sapphira. Both of them are smitten down in death. Now their sin was a very grievous sin. Look at verse 3. Peter said to Ananias, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Now underline that. "You lied," said Peter, "to the Holy Ghost." Now look at verse 4, the very last line of the verse. "Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God." You lied to the Holy Ghost. What is this? Peter says it is lying unto God. The Holy Ghost categorically called God. Not only so, but all the attributes of God are ascribed to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go through them in detail today. But He is called the Eternal Spirit, Hebrews 9:14. He is said to be omnipresent, Psalm 139:7. "Whither shall I flee from thy Spirit?" The omnipresent Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, He is the omniscient Spirit. In Zechariah 4:6, He is the omnipotent Spirit. It is not by might, nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Paul took this up in Romans 15:19, when he spoke of mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. Romans 8:11, Paul attributes the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the power of the Spirit of God. He is the omnipotent Spirit. Again and again, He is called the Holy Spirit. Remember that that's His proper name. And then recollect the words of Isaiah 57 and verse 15, where Jehovah speaks and he says, I am the high and the lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. When the Bible says his name is the Holy Spirit, it is saying he is absolutely, eternally, essentially, undeniably God. Then he's called in Nehemiah 9:20 the good Spirit of God. The good Spirit. Now keep that in mind as you think of Christ's words in Mark 10 and verse 18. There is none good but God. The Bible calls him the good Spirit, because the Bible teaches him to be truly God. He's true in the absolute sense. John 14 and 17, John 15, 26, John 16, 13. These are three references which the Lord Jesus Christ gives, emphasizing he's the Spirit of truth. And he leads into the truth. But God is truth. We noticed last week he's the sovereign Spirit. The wind, John 3 and 8, blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. He is the sovereign Spirit of God. Only God is totally free and sovereign, uncontained, unbounded, unlimited. That is the Spirit of God. He is God. He's God because he's called God. He's God because he has all the attributes of God. He's God because he does all the acts of God. We have read in Genesis 1, creation is the act of the Spirit of God. Romans 8 and 11, resurrection is the act of the Spirit of God. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:18 that Christ was crucified in the flesh, put to death in the flesh, and he was quickened by the Spirit. Regeneration is the act of the Spirit of God. John 6 and 63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. You'll see it also in the work of inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. And yet in 1 Peter 1:10 and 2 Peter 1:21, Peter says, inspiration, which Paul says is the work of God, he says it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. He does divine acts. Can I close this morning? And perhaps the most solemn note of all. The Holy Spirit is set forth in all his deity because he's called God. The attributes of God are ascribed to him. The acts of God are ascribed to him. But most solemn of all, the dignity of God belongs to him. You ever stop to think of the importance of the simple fact that his name is used right alongside of the name of the Father and the Son? Matthew 28 and 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We have read 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. Father, or God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, if the Holy Spirit were anything less than God, co-equal with the Father, that would be a blasphemous sort of statement to make. But let me come to some of the most sacred ground in the Bible. And again, this will probably have to be dealt with much more fully in a later occasion.
But let me ask you to turn as we close this morning to Matthew 12, 31 and 32. Here's the dignity of the Holy Spirit. When I hear how some people talk about the Holy Ghost, when I hear and see some charismatic people so deluded that they make the Spirit of God the excuse for all sorts of foolish fleshly excesses, my blood runs cold. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 12. Wherefore I say unto you, verse 31, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. If there's any verse in the Bible which shows the exalted teaching of God's Word on the person of the Holy Spirit, there it is. He has divine dignity. Let me just say to you this morning, my friend, if you're in this meeting and you're not saved, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached and there is a witness born in your heart, you're dealing not with man but with God in the person of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus Christ is evidently set forth before you, and you are drawn toward Him, you are made to feel your sin, and you are made to see that He is the only Savior, you are dealing not with man, but with the strivings of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a serious thing to deal with the Holy Ghost. I trust today that you will not be a resister of the Spirit, a quencher, a vexer, a griever, or a rejecter of the Spirit. But as the Spirit of God and of truth would witness to you, by His grace you would call out for mercy and come to Christ. And if you are saved, remember what I said right at the beginning in quoting from Octavius Winslow. Unless we can scripturally establish the doctrine of the personality and the deity of the Holy Spirit, we can give up all dependence on His influence. But we have established those things this morning, and thank God we can depend on Him to work. Where will He work? Where He is honored, where His person is esteemed, where His work is cherished, where His presence, His power, His grace, and His activities are sought, there will He work.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.